Our reading this morning is John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. That's on page 1064 in the Bibles in the front of you. So John 2, verse 13. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tablets. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Right, there we are. Good. Well, good morning, everybody. Have you noticed that life is full of coincidences? Look at the title of this last week's lesson that I had with my students. There we are. It says, Lesson 8B, It's Snowing. And what is the title which I've been given for today? Let's move it on. Clearing the Way. Should it be Clearing the Snow? Very relevant for many people. Clearing the snow. It's a bit better, perhaps, than the cleansing of the temple. Here we are. This is what it reminds me of. Spring cleaning. No. Cleansing the temple. But it doesn't quite give the right idea, does it? For something as dramatic as we've just heard read. It's a rather tame expression for the chaos it must have been. Pandemonium, uproar, something like this, perhaps. Now, have you got your Bible open there? Page 1065. 1065 in John chapter 2. So this is when Jesus makes his dramatic entry into the court of the temple in Jerusalem. Now, the city of Jerusalem held a special place within the land, and within the city, the temple was seen as the jewel in the crown. Why? Because it was, in a special sense, the place of God's presence, the closest that human beings could come to God himself. The temple had a number of different sections which only certain groups of people were allowed to enter. Do you ever feel left out, shut out, excluded because you're too young, too old, too small, too tall, or simply not good enough? This week, I got a text from the mother of a boy I've been tutoring in an entrance for exam for Epsom College. There were 500 children chasing 70 places. 35 boys, 35 girls. He didn't get in. I wonder how he's feeling. The temple's most holy place, or holy of holies, could only be entered once a year by the high priest carrying the blood of animals. Gentiles or non-Jews were only allowed in the outer court, where the traders and the money changers did a roaring trade with all the Jews who came from far and wide. Now, Mark will talk more about that. What I'm going to do is to dwell on... I'm not going to dwell so much on what Jesus was clearing out, but what he was bringing in. What does this story tell us about the person of Christ? Who is he? Firstly, he was fulfilling Scripture. In chapter 3 of the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, we read, "The Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly appear at his temple." Jesus was fulfilling prophecy, making real the promises of God. Why did he come at this particular time? Well, this was no coincidence. The Passover was an occasion when all Jews celebrated the time when God rescued them from slavery and led them out of Egypt. Jesus was to show that he was the new Passover lamb, which was to be sacrificed. Why did he drive out the animals? Just think, what a nightmare this scene must have been to all the people who've made films. Never work with animals or children. Just imagine what this filming this particular scene must have been like. But it was a sign when Jesus did this that these animals weren't needed anymore. He was clearly being provocative. By clearing the way at the temple, he comes to possess what, as God, belongs to him. And he clearly feels very passionate about it. Look at verse 17. His disciples remembered the words that had been spoken, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Jesus could not bear to see God's name dishonored. It was this kind of deliberately confrontational behavior that was to take him ultimately to the cross. When the Pharisees asked him for a sign, Jesus ignores their request. He doesn't even refer to any of the signs he's already performed in Jerusalem. He doesn't try to convince them who he is. Instead, he speaks of the ultimate sign, his death and resurrection. With this extraordinary statement, verse 19, "Destroy this temple," that's his body, "and in 3 days I will raise it up again." Jesus offered his own perfect life because the ancient system of sacrificing animals was unable to fix the problem of sin. But by his perfect death, the requirements of the law were met in full. So we are justified. We are put right with God. He paid the penalty for our sin with his blood shed on the cross. So we are ransomed, set free. In this way, he revealed the new and living way into God's presence, having cleared the way for us. There, access granted. What does access mean to you? Getting into the right school? Remembering your password? Is it privilege or status? An invitation to the royal wedding? Is it free, or do you have to earn it? We now have access into the holy presence of our Heavenly Father, not once a year, but always. Because Jesus is our high priest. We can live continually in our Father's presence because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and restores us to fellowship with God. In the words of this very old familiar hymn, "There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in." What does it mean for us today? Peter, in his first letter, writes, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let's try to imagine let's try to grasp the immense privilege that we have with that, and the responsibilities as well. We're responsible to the other living stones, for it's only together that God can build the temple of his presence. This is the foundation of our relationship with everyone from St. Paul's Nork, and indeed of all believing Christians down through the ages and right across the world. We are joined together in him. And also, we are a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. This is what Paul writes in the letter to the Ephesians. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And in this song, which some of you may recognize, we are being built into a temple, fit for God's own dwelling place, into the house of God, which is the church, the pillar and the ground of truth, as precious stones that Jesus owns, fashioned by his wondrous grace. And as we love and trust each other, so the building grows and grows. And it's all because Jesus has cleared the way for us.